This is Terry Fenneman. Today is June 18th, 2020. I am interviewing Ashley Wimberly, the Executive Director of the Arkansas Press Association, for the Community Journalism in Middle America, Challenges and Innovations of COVID-19 Coverage Oral History Project. So Ashley, why don't you start out just giving us a little bit of background of how long you've worked in the journalism field and what you've all done?
Well, actually, the week that I was born, some of my parents, who were weekly newspaper publishers, they had an employee put an ad in the newspaper that says, "Welcome to the newspaper industry, Ashley Kemp." So we laugh and say that I've been in the newspaper industry my whole life. I've never really known life outside of this industry. My parents met in the newsroom at the then Russellville Courier Democrat, which is now the Russellville Courier. That's in Pope County in Arkansas. And after marrying, they worked for a year at the Wind Progress, also in Arkansas, before learning that there was a small weekly newspaper for sale in Rector, a town they had never heard of. But they ended up moving our family there to Northeast Arkansas and purchased that newspaper and four other weeklies in Arkansas, and they newspapered together. They were newspapering together for the next 46 years. They just retired a couple of years ago. So I spent my entire childhood going to Arkansas Press Association conventions, and really the people in the industry became like family to us. And after attending college at Union University in Jackson, Tennessee, I worked in public relations at an ad agency here in Little Rock for 7 years. And of course, I enjoyed the media relations part of that job because I got to keep in touch with my journalist friends. But in 2005, I learned that there was a marketing director position open at the Press Association, and it was just an opportunity that I couldn't pass by. So it was something that I jumped on, and it really felt like I was coming home.
So how long have you been the executive director?
I've been the executive director since February of 2018.
So let's talk a little bit more about your parents, to establish a little bit more about your family's legacy in journalism. So what was it about journalism that your parents loved it so much?
Well, I think that it was just the recording of history, getting to tell the story. I mean, they're both really great writers. I think the experiences that a career in journalism brings one is immense. And that's what they've always laughed and said, you know, what you don't make in dollars and in journalism, you make in experiences. And I really enjoyed growing up in the newsroom, sleeping under my dad's desk so many nights while they were, you know, at that time, I say paginating, they were actually pasting up the paper most of those years. And I really enjoyed having a front row seat along with them at city council meetings, at school board meetings. You know, we would get up and go to cover a wreck, you know, during the night. And so I really saw the importance of what they did. And really, like they say, I got ink in my blood, you know, just seeing the importance of my parents' jobs and really respecting them as kind, compassionate journalists. Ron and Nancy Kemp, both have served on the Arkansas Press Association board. My dad is president, so they've been very involved in the association and still come to the conventions every year, like many do in retirement, again, because it just feels like one big family.
And how many newspapers are there in Arkansas?
We currently have 100 full member newspapers. Several publications are associate members, and some are not legal newspapers yet if they are startups. But we have 100 that are full members, and then several associate members as well.
When did you first notice the impact of the pandemic on the industry in your state?
It was very memorable. I was actually driving to a state park lodge it was March 12th for the APA's annual advertising conference. We began hearing on the radio about college and high school basketball tournaments being canceled and the possibility that the schools were going to be shut down. This was the day of the first case, the confirmation of the first case in Arkansas on the day that our ad conference started. We had about 50 APA members and guests scheduled to be at this event, and even more who were coming to the banquet the next day. So when we arrived, we immediately started talking about the health and safety concerns at the event. And that night, we decided to cut the conference short and cancel the banquet. I think that's really when it hit me that this was something serious and something that was going to require many changes and many ways to innovate. For instance, in place of the banquet, we decided to live stream a ceremony on Facebook, something that we had obviously never done before. And that day at the conference, our ad executives at APA and many newspaper publishers, they continued to get calls with cancellations from their advertisers because events were being canceled and they were obviously uncertain about the future. And I think that's really when I began to understand what this was going to mean for our industry.
Since Arkansas is so much in the news right now as we're speaking, give us a little bit of a brief overview of what the pandemic situation is like there right now.
Well, we as a state never really did, really never shut down. There was some curfews in Little Rock, but the state really never did shut down. And it looked like early on that we were going to weather this better than some of the other states, but that's not the case now. Obviously, our numbers are rising, and although I think many people are working remotely, many of our businesses are open, and it's kind of like life as usual. So it's an interesting time right now with the state being open and then our cases continuing to rise.
Have any newspapers in your state, have any of them had to close as a result of the financial repercussions of the pandemic?
We had one that shut down temporarily, and that would be just weeks. But thankfully, no closures. So we have not lost one newspaper during the pandemic.
And which newspaper was that?
That was temporary. That was Ashdown, and that was a startup. They had only been open for weeks, and I don't think they had time to get traction in their operations before they were hit with COVID-19. So it was an interesting situation for them that they were a new startup and weeks in, and then obviously hadn't built their advertising revenue and then were hit with a pandemic. So it was a different situation for them than our newspapers that had been in existence for years.
What furloughs or production changes are you aware of in your state?
At least 5 daily newspapers, all owned by the same company, reduced their publication schedules. Most stopped printing on Saturdays and Mondays, for instance, and as a result of that, that company furloughed several employees. Some of our newspapers would have implemented furloughs and even had announced their plans to furlough some employees, ended up not having to do that because they had obtained a loan through the Paycheck Protection Program. So really just reduction in schedules.
So for the historical record, what company are you referring to?
That's Paxton.
So newspapers have spent years debating print versus online and when cutbacks to print would need to happen. So it's been really, I don't know, interesting is maybe not the right word here, but, you know, it really took an emergency to bring that discussion to the forefront. So what kind of changes are you seeing with a greater emphasis of online for newspapers, weeklies as well?
I really don't think that's the case here in Arkansas. Our largest newspaper, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, moved to an innovative digital model more than a year ago. The newspaper publishes a digital replica on Monday through Saturday that can be read on an iPad, which is included with a subscription. I'm not sure if you've heard about that program, but the printed newspaper only publishes on Sunday. So that decision to shift to digital was not at all related to COVID-19. And the newspapers that have reduced publication dates here in Arkansas seem to be doing so specifically for financial reasons related to the pandemic. But we're a rural state and access to broadband internet is sporadic in many places in the state. And I believe that our newspaper publishers and owners understand the value and importance of a printed newspaper to the rural subscriber. So I think since we're such a rural state, it's still different here. And I think that there's that commitment to print, you know, and again, with the Democrat Gazette having made that shift over a year ago to digital.
How have the financials of newspapers and their relationship with advertising changed during the pandemic? How much of a hit are the papers taking from advertising?
It seems almost every newspaper in our state experienced a significant drop in advertising at the onset of this pandemic. What we did as an industry was begin to look for other unconventional advertisers. For example, could state and local governments utilize newspapers for health and safety messages? By brainstorming creative and new ways to advertise, it seems newspapers were able to weather the storm. So we had advertising placements from, you know, state agencies like the Arkansas Department of Health. So we really did shift our focus and try to get out health and safety messages to Arkansans through newspapers.
How do you see the business model for newspapers potentially changing as a result of this?
If anything, it may be that our newspapers rely more on a remote staff, remote work from their staff members. There may be some newspaper office fronts that shut down. We've seen that in a few instances. Before the pandemic, we'd had several smaller newspapers close their offices to cut costs. But now, with many offices closed to the public because of health concerns, I think it's likely that we'll have more newspapers deciding that their staffs can work from home and all business can be conducted online and over the phone.
Do you have thoughts on how the financial business model may change? There's, you know, been discussions of late of needing to go more of a nonprofit status or having more donations or membership models, you know, with this drop off in advertising, which, you know, granted is pretty tied to an emergency situation, but do you see that impacting the long term of the financial side of newspapers?
I think most in Arkansas have seemed to rebound in terms of advertising, or they are rebounding now. I think that is a discussion that, you know, has been and will be taking place in terms of, you know, nonprofit status or donations. I think that's a conversation that, you know, had already started and will continue to take place, but not necessarily, it may be accelerated, but not necessarily a result of COVID in Arkansas.
Tell us more about some of the innovations that you've seen in newspapers and name the specific ones. You know, what are some innovations that have been happening in the industry during this time?
I really am proud of our newspapers and how they've been proactive toward finding new advertisers and supporting their communities. We've tried to feature those newspapers each week in our newsletter. And a few examples: the Advance Monticellonian and Monticello began featuring a page or two in their newspaper listing all the businesses and government entities that had remained open as a service to the readers. The Sheridan Headlight tried to fill in some of the gaps that were left by schools by creating a kids' education and puzzle page, so that was a lot of fun. We had multiple newspapers operate a matching grant program where advertisers could receive a dollar-for-dollar match for their ad space. I know that Paxton Properties did that, and then several independent newspapers did that as well. And so we've really been proud of our newspapers as we read through each of them as they arrive at the APA offices each week, is how innovative they're being in response to the pandemic. So those were a few examples that stood out.
How have you as a state association responded to try to help your newspapers?
Advertising dollars and webinars. I mean, the marketing arm of our association, you know, where we send advertising dollars to our newspapers, has been very important during the pandemic. Obviously, when we have access to some of these state agencies being in the capital city that a lot of the rural newspapers don't. So that has been key, is us seeking out those opportunities as we are, you know, shifting our focus on advertisers, and they really relied on us to make contact and make some of those buys happen. But also, we immediately in March, you know, talked about webinars. We started connecting our newspapers with sales, reporting, HR webinars, and professional development opportunities online. We revamped our website to include up-to-the-minute updates on what's going on in Arkansas related to COVID-19, and our site really became a clearinghouse for business information on the coronavirus. We reached out to our congressional delegation and had a conference call among newspaper publishers and one of our U.S. senators about federal coronavirus relief and issues with the U.S. Postal Service. And one final way is our Arkansas Newspaper Foundation every year has an internship program, and generally what they do is they pay for half of the stipend for that intern and then ask the newspaper to match that grant. And this year they expanded the program. We had five really qualified applicants for our intern program, and our foundation voted to fully fund that program and also expand from two interns to five. So they are just getting started at these five newspapers across the state, most last week or this week. And so that's a really great program, and I was really proud that the foundation voted to expand it this year to help our member newspapers.
We've talked about financials and production, but perhaps overall and from a content perspective, how do you think the pandemic is changing journalism as an industry?
I really think my biggest concern is how it's changing journalism as an industry. Is it seems now we have this additional wall between our government and its citizens. It makes it even more difficult to hold officials accountable if they're not accessible, if they're inaccessible. I think governments will be more willing to have meetings online rather than in person, maybe for the whole purpose of stifling the public's voice. And that's disappointing. But journalists are resilient and will eventually find a way to shine some light, even if that means working harder. Of course, because of live sports are essentially non-existent now, I think we've also seen sports writers turn into news and feature writers. And I think that's something else that we'll continue to see in the immediate future.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That's something I hadn't really thought about. But yes, we are seeing that. I mean, let's talk about sports, actually. I mean, what have some of your newspapers been doing with sports sections during this time?
Well, I think that, you know, what I talked about in the Sheridan newspaper, for example, is they may have educational pages, those pages that would have been dedicated to high school sports or in some cities, college sports. They've been shifting those pages to other, you know, educational pages for children, you know, filling those spaces with other community service options like they did in Monticello, where it's a list of the businesses open. So it's really been interesting on in ways that they are continuing to try to serve even a younger audience and keep that younger readership on those school pages. And I think some of the newspapers have been doing like, you know, here's what happened 10 years ago in sports. Here's what happened 5 years ago. So you know, history, some school history on those pages too. I've seen some examples of that. So
what are some other success stories or positive things that you've seen come out of the situation?
Our newspapers, I think, are really building relationships with advertisers who have never considered print advertising before. And hopefully those will be lasting relationships that will result in sustainable income for the industry. I also think the public has maybe re-recognized the importance of newspapers as the definitive and impartial source for accurate and timely information, and that the medium that holds our government accountable. So I think it's kind of been a reminder to our readers of the importance of print journalism.
Yeah, so I mean, let's go off that a little bit. You know, what are your newspapers, what have they been telling you as far as reader reaction? I mean, you're hearing a lot of stories of not only just huge increases in web traffic and potentially subscriptions, but also readers maybe being more appreciative of journalism. So what are kind of those stories that you've been hearing?
I think, you know, obviously, what is most important, and I have heard this, is increased subscriptions. And so that's, I think that is the best form of appreciation for a journalist is to subscribe to your local newspaper. So I have heard, you know, several of our member newspapers say that they have increased subscriptions. And I think just, you know, with the climate in terms of what it's, you know, been toward the press for some time now, I think maybe there is a bit of a shift there where there is more appreciation for them keeping their readers informed, and also the recognition that they are essential workers working on the front line, and how hard they're working to bring that news to, you know, to their communities. And so I think just increased subscriptions, increased web traffic is obviously very important, but I think just a shift in attitude has been important too.
So you mentioned the phrase essential workers, and I'm glad that you brought that up because, you know, some states did officially declare journalists to be essential workers. Did that happen in Arkansas?
It did. We did make the request to the governor before there was even a partial shutdown or shelter in place, and newspaper reporters or, you know, print journalists as well as those in broadcast were all deemed essential workers by the governor and the state. And there have been, you know, instances in some of the community, you know, some of the communities have also had a curfew. And so there have been times that we've had to reach out to mayors in different cities and communities across the state too, again, on that level to make sure that if, you know, we had a newspaper carrier out or somebody was, you know, covering an event after curfew, that that they were deemed, that they knew that they were deemed essential workers. We had a situation during the protests where some of our newspaper reporter and two television journalists were detained during the protests. And so, again, that was a good reminder and an education opportunity, you know, that for the city to remind everyone that, that, you know, journalists are, have been deemed essential workers in Arkansas.
Give us a few more details on that. When did that happen and what reporters were involved?
It was on, I believe, the date that, that the protests continued for several nights in Little Rock. And I believe that it was July 1st that, that there was a earlier curfew in Little Rock. I believe the mayor had moved it to 8 p.m. And of course, there were some protesters who were out after curfew and with reporters covering those protests and they, you know, covering those who were out after curfew, they were detained along with all the protesters. And so there was a call made, and I believe they were only held for about 10 minutes.
And what newspaper did that involve?
The newspaper was the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and then KATV were the was the station that the two television journalists were with.
As long as we're talking about the protests, why don't you tell us what happened with your building and what it's been like to have to deal with that on top of the pandemic?
It really has been a trying time. There's a great benefit to being right across from the state capitol. And I think that our board of directors, you know, 20 plus years ago, picked this location, you know, wanted the Arkansas Press Association name, you know, to, right in front of the capitol. So when legislators and others walk out of the capitol, they're reminded of the importance of a free press and the importance of democracy. And so there's great benefit to being by the Capitol. Unfortunately, you know, in our proximity to the Capitol, we also sustained some damage from those protests. And we very much support, you know, peaceful protests, and everyone's everyone has that right. We were sad to see the level of destruction. I believe we had 18 windows in our office, which is mostly glass, broken. And so our office is currently boarded up and will be for the next few weeks. But those things can be replaced. But again, it's been a trying time, I think, with the pandemic and then the protests. And it's at the same time, I think, you know, it's kind of brought us all closer together. We've had to, you know, work through all this together and as a staff clean up together, and our members have been great about checking on us. And so while I think it's been a trying time, I think it's in some ways brought us back together where we all felt a little disconnected from the pandemic.
And what day was it that that destruction occurred?
It was over several nights, beginning, or it was at the end of May and through the beginning of June. And I think I said on those reporters July 1st, I meant June 1st. Was the night that they were detained. It was June 1st. The protests started at the end of March and continued through the beginning of June.
How else has the pandemic impacted you personally?
Well, thankfully, my husband and I both have jobs that we can do remotely, but it has been interesting to work at home with two teenage daughters and a dog. We laugh about that. You know, the dog, every time you have the ding of a Zoom meeting, the dog starts barking, thinking it's the doorbell. We've set up our home offices, you know, so working remotely has been fairly easy. And of course, until recent weeks, my daughters were doing their schoolwork from home as well. So that it's been an interesting adjustment, but one that I'm thankful that we were able to do. I know it's some people have jobs where they can't work remotely, and I'm thankful that, you know, that I've been able to do that. But from a work standpoint, I'm just really thankful that we have such a committed team at APA, While I definitely miss the camaraderie that comes with being in the office, so we've really done a good job in staying connected with Zoom calls and conference calls, and obviously lots of emails. And we have a weekly update on our financial situation. We're having a successful year financially. And really what we're focused on now is doing everything that we can to help our member newspapers navigate through this as well. So again, I think it's really, like I said, been a difficult time, but I think we're having an even more successful year because we want so badly to do all that we can to help our member newspapers.
And how many members are there on your team?
We have 8.
What changes to newspaper operations that have occurred during the pandemic do you expect will continue after this is over?
I think I mentioned this earlier, but I think more newspapers maybe will shutter their public offices as a way to save money and improve efficiency. And as broadband expands, more will consider shifting to digital first models, but I really don't necessarily think that that's connected directly to COVID-19.
Let's talk about that, because I think it's interesting that you mentioned the broadband issues in Arkansas, because this pandemic has definitely brought to light, you know, there's been this presumption that everybody has internet access and they don't. So talk about that and the impact on the newspaper industry more of realizing this internet situation. And is that something that lawmakers or people in your state are discussing?
They have, and obviously, you know, as we've gone through legislative sessions and discussed the need for public notices to remain in newspapers, and, you know, that is always one solid point in our reasoning is that so many Arkansans in rural areas of the state just don't have access. And we even had several legislators mention that they have no access from their home. And so it is something that's, I think that they're aware of. It's obviously, I said, it's been a key point during our public notice battles that we've had the last few sessions. And I think something that, you know, will continue to be an issue, but I think that's why the printed product is still, you know, still so important in Arkansas right now because of you know, of those the rural areas in the state.
What changes to newspaper operations that have occurred during the pandemic are you most ready to see just over?
Well, I think that readers really like the idea of a daily newspaper. So I feel confident that our dailies that suspended some publication dates will resume printing on those dates as soon as it's feasible for them again. And our newspapers have, you know, some of our newspapers have initiated travel bans as well. And I'm ready for those to end because I think more than anything, we all just miss the fellowship and the camaraderie and the networking our association has with its members. And so I think that's probably the primary thing that I'm ready to see end.
Do you have any kind of feel for more about the journalistic routines happening at newspapers in your state as far as, you know, how many are just the reporters are simply working at home and that's it versus some that are actually still going out but social distancing? Like, you know, how are those routines playing out right now?
Well, I think that in the member newspapers that I've talked to about this, I think in our larger newspapers that there's been a larger shift because they have larger staffs. Some of our smaller weekly newspapers may just have, you know, one or two employees or a handful of employees. And so they may rotate when they go in or are able to social distance when they go to the office. So in some ways, I don't know that their routines have changed as much as some of the larger operations that are, you know, having their news meetings via Zoom and working from home or cover. But even if you are at the office, I think what is consistent across, you know, weeklies and dailies or smaller and larger operations is that they're now covering government meetings online, that they're, you know, calling in to ask the governor questions at a news conference. And so I think that the way that they're working or the way that they're gathering news is changing regardless of whether or not their, you know, the situation in their own operation has changed much. So it's been interesting to see how everyone has responded. And I think everyone has done all of our newspapers have done just a phenomenal job in, you know, responding to this so quickly and doing everything that they can to make sure that they are getting the news to their readers. And, you know, we have had several calls if we've had, you know, a small newspaper or a larger newspaper have issue, you know, with connection to a Zoom meeting of a, you know, a city council meeting or a school board meeting, or those. We have had, you know, some situations like that arise that we've responded to. But I think everyone's doing a good job in gathering the news in a much different way. You know, I really don't think that it's changed my own views, but I do think, as we talked about, I do think that the pandemic has highlighted the importance of good journalism and you know, in society. I think it's been a reminder. People want to be informed. And I think that, you know, another interesting point that I read a few days ago, that members of the media aren't just covering a story. I mean, this is a little different. I think everyone is part of the story, because this virus is affecting literally every single person. And so I think it's been interesting to watch these, you know, reporters cover the story that they're also a part of. And more than anything, I think it's just highlighted the importance of good journalism, and it's been a good reminder.
So for those who are listening in the future, you know, this interview is taking a place at a time when there has been kind of a negative culture around media, with a current president who refers to members of the media as the enemies of the people, and you're seeing quite a negative backlash that's been occurring against the media. So Ashley, maybe talk a little bit about how you think this pandemic and journalists really stepping up and people relying on journalists more, how do you think, or what kind of difference do you think that's making in that kind of rhetoric and attitude that had been pretty prevalent?
You know, I think I have seen some shift, and, you know, I think that in some ways it sadly maybe created a larger divide, that the people who felt that way maybe even feel more greatly that way. And that the others, you know, I have seen some of that, but I also feel like in talking to people, you know, if they're frustrated with the press, or maybe share some of those feelings that the president shares toward the press, I find that if you talk about a local newspaper or you talk about a local reporter or a journalist, and there's generally this feeling of, oh, well, I'm not talking about them. And so I think it's just, looking at people not lumping all media into one group. And, you know, I think I posted this at one point recently, that I regret that social media is named social media. I mean, it's really just a platform. It's not a form of media. So I think that we really just need to be careful to not lump this term media, you know, everyone into one group, and people who are respected journalists and, you know, get up every day and try to inform their readers and stay on the front line, and that they know that they're appreciated. So that's how I feel, is it's just maybe trying to redefine again that term media, and that newspapers aren't a part of that.
So that really ties into our next question. But is there anything else that you would like to say as far as what do you want readers to know about journalism right now?
Well, I think the newspaper industry is obviously, we've talked about, more important than ever. And despite unprecedented challenges, we have reporters in Arkansas that continue to fight to bring the news to their fellow citizens. And as we talked about, they're in their home offices watching meetings online, they're filing open records requests, they're calling into news conferences, all because their responsibility is so important right now. And I think it really, really is a reminder that newspapers are the cornerstone of our democracy.
What would you want journalists 100 years from now, who may be covering a new pandemic, what do you want them to know?
I think what we've learned is it's extremely important to be nimble, to be adaptable, and to talk with colleagues about unique and innovative ways to report the news. I know that so many of our member newspapers visit with one another weekly and just, you know, talk about things that are working, to talk about things that are not working, and they learn so much from one another. So I think, yeah, the bottom line to that question is just to be nimble and to be adaptable.
Let's kind of expand on that a little bit. Is that something that is occurring much more often than it used to as far as your members reaching out and supporting each other?
I think it's always, we've always had a really close membership. Our member newspapers, they're not right as have happened in several other states. I know that there are fewer presses now. So we have, you know, a lot of them who are, you know, one newspaper who might be printing several other newspapers in the area. And so I think that that brings about a sense of connection too, because they're, you know, they're using the same press in many instances. But now I feel like that there's always been that closeness, but I feel like as we have really the need to innovate and not just from this pandemic, but the need to innovate, you know, be innovative as an industry and make changes, and how quickly everything's happened over the last 15 years or so, that communication has increased and they really rely on each other for ideas and for stories, for sharing mistakes, you know, so that they're, you know, other newspapers across the state don't make the same mistake.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about to let us know about this, the state of newspapers during the pandemic?
Not really anything else to add, but I think that, you know, just a thank you to journalists. You know, we talked about what do they need now more than anything. And of course, talked about the need for advertising dollars, and we talked about the need for, you know, news to fill the pages that, you know, were, you know, where the school news was before. But I think more than anything right now, journalists just need thanks. They need a thank you. And so I would just like to say thank you, you know, for working so hard during this pandemic. And as we talked about, you know, in many cities across the country, including Little Rock, they were on the front line covering the protests. And so it's been a really trying time for everyone. I know that emotions have been high, and I'm really proud to see newspapers not only keeping their readers informed, but really keeping their communities connected. So just a thank you, and that, you know, we're proud.
Okay, this is the conclusion of this oral history.